Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Now, a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT special presentation.
It's the end of the world.
Hey, New Roll, let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
Take it on the other side. Anthony, what is up, my man? It's been a couple of days, but last time you saw Anthony and I with The Other Side, I'm Dan Borowski, Anthony Dorenzo. We were out at the Phillies game, man, and it looks like tonight's game is still going to be happening. Is that what's happening here? Phillies said about an hour ago that the start of tonight's game will be delayed. Further updates will be provided as they become available. But if you look outside, dude, it is. It's crappy, man. I don't know how the hell they're going to play this.
They hate canceling games. They just
they hate it, but I'm bringing this up to lead off because I want your reaction because I know you're going to rant. The Phillies waiting this long, man, until there are people that are trying to leave work to come to the game. They want to know what the hell's happening. They spent money on tickets. Still don't have an answer. I feel like that's something that would piss you off, no?
Yeah, I think it is the modern decision-making in baseball. I don't know. I mean, when we were younger, we didn't really have jobs, so I didn't think about it as, detailed as we do now with people's day-to-day and their lives and going down to the stadium. But it does suck. I mean, imagine you right when you get down there, they call it. You know, like you're at least going to hang out, have some beers, eat, see what it's like. And then the second you get there, they call it. And then what? Everyone's already going home and now you're in traffic again. So it does suck. It does suck as much as we could sit here and be like, oh, well, there's a chance. The game was supposed to be at 1, which it looks like they should have played it at 1. But I don't know.
They push it back to like 3, and then you see on the screen there, it says an hour ago, sorry, today's game will be delayed. Further updates will be provided as they become available. So, I don't know, man. It's annoying, but I got to ask, the weather's been crap, horrible recently. I mean, I feel like we've had these monsoon-like rainstorms. You believe in climate change?
I absolutely do believe in climate. I mean, the climate is always changing. Do I think our Toyotas or, you know, 4-person minivans are the things changing it constantly? You know, we have an impact overall. I think giant jets and freight boats and things like that are out of our control mostly. Like, that's more the issue. But you know, you can't deny. That's why I think people hate politics on that issue, because look what they did with the Green New Deal. Yeah. Is there legitimacy behind all this? Yes, but then it's used for political benefit and not to actually research and fix that.
I mean, I think it's fair to recognize climate change is something real, but I feel like conservatives should be making a point here that these green energy people, they're taking it way too far, essentially enabling communists. I hate to always bring it back to China. But China's not going to change their regulations. India's not going to change their regulations. You're just enabling their economies to continue growing while we're kneecapping our own with climate policies and such. But I go down the path of climate change because I want to get to the topic that I wanted to lead off with today that I'm going to throw your way. Tennessee lawmakers vote to ban geoengineering with allusions to chemtrails conspiracy theories, cloud seeding being done to combat wildfires and drought and such. So allegedly a very real thing to be able to build clouds in the atmosphere and make rain. So how much of what we're I ask Maisie all the time, like, why is it that it seemed like for a while, all the weekdays it was beautiful. And on the weekends we were shot with horrible weather that was just making us depressed. And I was saying, I think this is the Biden administration, you know, cloud seeding up there, trying to make everybody depressed and miserable on the weekends and then go to work hard on the weeks. You think there's any truth to cloud seeding and it's being used nefariously against the population, Anthony?
I don't know. It was pretty nice over the weekend, though. It was.
Yeah. They like reverse course here.
Yeah. They let it fly sometimes. But obviously, everyone's heard of chemtrails as a society. When all this, you know, I feel like when we grew up, we always talked about it. But it does seem like something that they're allowed to do, and we should at least look into it. I would assume there are government regulations on that, but I'm not an expert on it. So to hear about this in a certain state, you'd think it just makes me question and think, like, how does it happen on the other end?
Yes, it says JFK said in the 60s, he said, just because we can doesn't mean we should. And
yep.
They release some kind of particle that essentially catalyzes the air and turns it into rain and can do some crazy stuff. But NBC News is mocking it. All the big Tennessee's move to ban it, get ahead of it, because they say it's not being done in Tennessee. What does it matter? But I don't know. It's just interesting as conspiracy theorists. Which brings me to my next point, the conspiracy theorist of everybody's talking about. I mean, the guy himself, the third-party candidate, RFK, since we last spoke, chose Nicole Shanahan, an absolutely terrible VP pick. But your updated thoughts, I mean, you're a guy who's openly expressed support for Kennedy in the past. I have too. I'd say I'd definitely consider voting for the guy. Now I'm not going to consider voting for him in any way, but where do you stand?
I mean, that doesn't change my view on him that much. I think he's really trying to gain sympathy from a left-leaning base, which is labeling him as anti-vax. And I think that's kind of the biggest hurdle he has. Not that, you know, winning is very much almost an impossibility, but at the same time, if you want any shot at winning, you need more Democrats. And I think she kind of lends to that group of people. Does it make me a little concerned? Sure, but this is politics. I hate when people aren't surprised by moves like this. Like, it is.
So when you say if they need any shot of winning, you think he needs to appeal to a left-leaning base to try to gather voters, or do you think he needs her to win based on the money situation where she's essentially buying her way into VP?
A little bit of both. Like, he could use the money for sure. And on top of that, I do think she appeals to a base that he hasn't necessarily been appealing to. Like, he's definitely been appealing to more libertarian, maybe right-leaning, independent.
Well, that's the thing is, I think a lot of his base, and I was saying this to Dom, is I think we talked about it before on the other side, but something called South Park libertarianism or South Park republicanism. A very big portion of young males who grew up watching shows like South Park or that type of humor, listening to Howard Stern, have a very libertarian look at life. It's a left-leaning, socially, right-leaning, fiscally kind of ideology. And I got to say, almost all my guy friends think this way politically. And because of that, I think RFK was doing a great job speaking to those types, offering a platform that was much more socially liberal than what Trump was willing to offer, because trying to appeal to evangelicals and such. And then offering a right-leaning fiscal platform when it comes to immigration and coronavirus and all. And I think a lot of people still want answers on coronavirus. So when you're appealing to a audience, like Nicole Shanahan's fans, I don't think they were the ones out there not wearing masks and putting up a fight against the government for asking them to wear masks. You know, I think that's what RFK had to capture and spread. And he just turned off all those people's votes, including mine, because of this pick.
I will say, I think his number one choice was Tulsi, but I think she said no, because essentially their team isn't denying that. And I know he's expressed publicly many times how he feels about Tulsi. So I think that's what he wanted. It didn't work out. I think this was kind of plan C or D. I don't love it, but I'm still very much going to consider voting for him, because I mean, a lot of what he said recently, like I think I gave you the clip for him talking about democracy and who's more of a threat. It's just such an interesting clip because it really shows.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal evil to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. For 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, the first president in history to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
Then, of course, Donald Trump, of course. Yeah, look at what they did. They kicked him off the platform. I get it. He said some like crazy things. But again, free speech. He was also the president at times when he was putting out these posts. And second of all, yeah, they would never, never, never. Could you imagine? It would be headline story on all of the networks if it came out that he was colluding with Elon Musk to, you know, censor things from critics. Like this is what we're talking about when it doesn't matter where you land. Like, this is just totally unfair, and it shows the game that they're all playing. And I know Trump also plays the game a little bit, but they treat him very unfairly. And RFK's point, I think he's really for the first time revealing, you know, how concerning like this government is and the crossroads we're at. Like, I don't want to say that this is like the most pivotal election because of what Biden's done, but really we can't just let this stuff go and act like it's normal. Like that's, it goes against us and our principles as Americans. No matter what you believe, it goes against that. And Democrats should be calling Biden out for this.
They should be. I mean,
they should. This is, if you believe in democracy, you should be calling Biden out for this. And it's a joke.
I love also, I don't have the clip, but the host continues and she says, but Trump. And she says, essentially, his supporters have said that they want the same things. And I think what she's essentially referring to is a comment made at CPAC by Jack Posobiec. Who went on a long, long rant, essentially saying Trump needs to X and X and X. And what he was giving is all examples of stuff that Biden administration has done to Trump and his political opponents. And the mainstream media took that and run and said, hey, look at what Trump supporters are saying, when essentially what Jack was saying was exactly what Biden's done in his time sitting in office. So it's fascinating to me that they're trying to build an entire campaign on the basis, on the back of Trump being a threat to democracy, while in turn destroying democracy through censorship and all this crap that we're seeing. One name I want to throw at you as a vice president, you said Tulsi was a front runner. My front runner, I would have loved to see him run with him, is actually coming up with Dom Giordano April 11th at the Sock Performing Arts Center. A shameless plug there for Senator Rand Paul. I mean, Rand Paul would have been freaking awesome with RFK.
I don't think he wanted to do it.
You don't think so?
I think that was an idea. I think why would he leave his job as senator?
Really?
Like, especially, I think he's so
to be a losing VP because there's some, I mean, he doesn't have a realistic shot, RFK, right?
Yeah, I mean, voting for him is voting against the establishment. I think RFK is going to be around and involved no matter what. But yeah, it's just, you know, when you're a senator like that, you don't want to put your job in jeopardy.
So Bernie was able to essentially seize the entire Democratic Party and move them more progressive. You saw the rise of the squad. I think it was you that alluded to Kennedy setting himself up for the future, not being really concerned about 2024, but the Democratic Party of 2028 once Biden leaves. Do you see Robert Kennedy having that power to potentially shift the entire Democratic Party to more toward his ideologies and away from this hyper-progressivism, overreaching government, you know, lockdowns? That kind of thing.
It's hard to overcome. Very, very hard to overcome because a lot of people are convinced that Biden isn't that guy. For them to embrace RFK, it's really, really almost impossible to see that right now. But if they keep kind of shooting themselves in the foot right now, especially with the Israel-Palestine stuff, like, that's going to be critical to how Biden does here in the final stretch toward November. If they continue to mess that up, I don't see them embracing someone like RFK, but like, what, Kamala's next up? She's not, people aren't happy with her. Mayor Pete's like ready to quit after the bridge.
Do you think the progressives, like Fetterman's facing a lot of heat? He's had three, you know, communications directors now leave because they don't agree with his diversion from progressive ideology when it comes to Israel, Palestine, that kind of thing. He's not progressive enough. Is that kind of what you saw through their resigning? Is that a problem? Like, do you think the majority of Democratic voters are the hyper-progressive types? Or are they more the moderate types that want to vote for someone like a, you know, I guess Kennedy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think young voters who have voted Fetterman would consider Kennedy, yeah. But I think that's because a lot of young voters, like you were saying, the almost, you know, the guy that's listening to Joe Rogan or watching football, or like those are the people. I don't think that's a huge voter base yet. But this group of young people, whether they're radicalized by just getting involved, talking about society, or the other end of the coin, which is pretty much people who are radicalized by like abortion and, you know, all of the left stripes. So overcoming that's going to definitely be hard, because I do think most young voters are probably swayed by things like abortion more than the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think abortion is going to drive a lot of people out if they don't fix what the hell.
Well, and this Palestine thing, because people don't talk about it. Like, this is the reality of that situation is it's two groups of people that consistently have failures of power. And then they give you the excuses of why the other side literally deserves to all die. Which, like, that's just not a rational conversation.
But at the same time, I think it's important for politicians to recognize the impact that Israel plays when dealing with our foreign adversaries, you know, out in the Middle East. It's far more important than just a group of people versus another group of people. I hate to say, but there is political, you know, leanings here at play. And if you want a Western hold on, you know, that area, I think it's important to have a stake there in Israel.
I'm not saying don't have a stake,
and essentially what it comes down to is supporting our allies versus our adversaries.
Yeah, but we left them, you know, we give them support on the other side, leaving weapons in Afghanistan, and it's just, you know, it's constantly we're funding it on all ends, like really, whether we like it or not. So it's I mean, it's not good.
Let's go into it a little bit. I mean, Palestine, Israel, what do you think the solution is? I mean, there's been two state solutions. There've been ceasefires offered, and there's one side that is particularly against that over and over again and violently against it. How do you solve it if it's not just completely throwing your support behind Israel at this point?
I just don't think Israel's perfect. I get it. They've cut deals and they've tried to become, you know, full on allies with the other side, at least from what a lot of
with our show.
Yeah. A free plug for us. But no, I do understand Israel's perspective of having offers on the table and trying to mitigate that. But I will say, I think both sides have consistently had failures in leadership, and Israel consistently stoops to their level and then wonders why it continues to happen, I think, on the other end as well. So, you know, I'm not saying I don't support Israel. What Hamas did is terrible, but also these people feeding those in need in Gaza were bombed yesterday too, and they're claiming it. So it's just, I hate the vicious cycle of what it is. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't necessarily be there. It is a humanitarian crisis, but I kind of feel like we're just actually doing the worst thing to both sides, and it's not healthy. And I don't know, you know, they have to figure it out on their own terms, but that will never happen, because whether it's the EU or America, we're always involved somehow.
Yeah, and I mean, what's the solution become? Just raising through Gaza and Palestine and just turning it all into Israel?
Both sides raise people with hate for the other side. They really do. And they've had communities together that are like opposite of that, but these communities keep getting divided by the political rhetoric of either side. So it's, I don't want to say it's hopeless, but like, what can we do? It really is. It comes down to such deep cultural issues. I mean, does the U.S. also fund the horror there to an extent? Yeah. And we have to also, like, that's another part of our money that we just piss away, just like in Ukraine. And you wonder why we don't want to freaking pay their taxes. Like,
Mangelmush says, just melt the sand, essentially bomb the entire region.
I'm not going to do that though. We bomb it plenty anyway. Like, we just get out. Just get out. Yeah. It's not our land to decide. Let them figure it out. I don't understand why we have to be so involved, but
it's just really, it's really hard for me after what I saw to have any sympathy.
You can see clips from both sides that are horrifying, that humans shouldn't ever have to deal with. And that's the problem. And it keeps happening. And then they want to justify one of those things that you saw.
Yeah. Something we can both agree on, though, is Getty Images being way off base here. Because I don't mean to change the subject, but I want to get moving, because very important topic is Dave McCormick going down to Geno's for some cheesesteaks.
Yes. Philly guy.
Called in a Dom today. But if I, as much as I like Dave McCormick, if there's anywhere I'm going for cheesesteaks, I got to say it's not.
Probably not Geno's. Yeah.
But the one thing I want to note is it's also not good to go to Getty Images for pictures of cheesesteaks.
Because, oh, God, that looks like it's from an Arby's.
Right? And look, so I'm scrolling down here. This one, the steak's cut all wrong, and the cheese looks disgusting.
Yeah, that's too thick. The bell. Right, what's with everyone thinking we put bell pepper on it?
Look, peppers. It took me so long to find a reputable cheesesteak. None of these look like cheesesteaks.
I will put occasionally hot peppers on mine, but like banana peppers.
Like long hots. Long hots are
Or long hot. Yeah, I'll do long hots. Yeah, that's true.
All right, so this is...
That looks semi-normal.
Semi-respectable, yeah. But the cheese doesn't look right, right?
Yeah, it's a little too... Nah.
And then this one kind of looks like a Chickie's cheesesteak, but the fries should have crab, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
So still going down.
People expect the whiz, I would say.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, what is that? Like a skillet or something? Yeah,
why is there a skillet around it?
Yeah.
So I'm still going. I don't know if I found the one that I chose yet. No, still.
Oh, that one top right is...
This is the one I chose right down here.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fried onions look solid. It looks like it might have some whiz on it. The steak looks cut okay. You know, if you're going to post a picture of a cheesesteak, you're going to get mocked, right? If it's not, like, at least similar to a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, it's not accurate. Yeah.
Kraft cheese slices. You ever make cheesesteaks at home?
Yes, I have. Are you a big cheesesteak at home guy or no?
Yeah, recently we just got one of those like skillets that covers two of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we have a gas stove, which is freaking awesome. Gas stove versus a... I don't think I could do this on an electric stove, but we put down the two gas burners, turn half my stove into a skillet, flat iron, and we fry the steaks up and some onions. And
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
We use some sharp provolone, though, that we get... We're not
that's the way good. To do it. That's the way to do it. Yeah, do it. Unless I'm like drunk, I'm not getting whiz. I'll get like provolone, sharp prove.
Yeah, whiz is like a really... But I gave advice to McCormick and to the senator he was with from Montana. I said, if you're going to have pictures being taken, the only option is whiz wit, because you know the media is going to lambast you if you order anything else. Point being, so I'm on Getty Images still. So this is a service that for our podcasting and a lot of our posts online, we have capability to use their images. We credit them and all. But I have it currently sorted by most popular. So these are the most popular cheesesteaks that people are using for pictures when they post a podcast and such. But this is the creative section, which is all, images taken in professional settings. Editorial is the news section. If I click that cheesesteak most popular image, what do you think it's going to be?
John Kerry.
Boom.
I knew it. I knew it. I love that picture. We should have that up in the studio. We don't, but we should. That should be like a canvas print of that.
He's enjoying it way too much too. I love the...
Well, he's got tomatoes on it. Come on.
Yeah, it's a cheesesteak hoagie. I think there was mayonnaise on it too.
I mean, I will say I'm fine with that here and there, but you're right. With the picture, it just looks terrible. Just that's not... Look at the KYW reporter in the back.
He's still around too. I think I've seen him in the hallway.
Yeah, I think he is. You're right.
So federal regulations. I actually just looked this up. So Mangle just said, Dan, ever wonder how much whiz is in cheese?
Yeah, it was Swiss cheese. He had Swiss cheese. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's disgusting. Ever wonder how much whiz is in the cheese whiz? I guess it depends on the chef. Well, first of all, I don't know what chefs were whipping up fresh cheese whiz. I think it's all like jarred crap. Specific brand. I think there's two different brands, like an off brand and an on brand, because there's definitely two significant flavors that you can tell the difference when someone's using cheap cheese whiz versus the real stuff. But I looked it up. Pasteurized cheese, according to federal regulations, has to be at least 51% real cheese. So I guess there is actual real cheese in cheese whiz, believe
it
or not.
That's good. That gives me some.
I don't know if that applies to the shooting it down. What's the cheese spray that they have?
There's
no way that's 50% cheese.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like the squeezy cheese that you have for like crackers. Yeah.
All I think of is a Goofy movie with Mac spraying it in his mouth. Some local stories. Let's run down real quick. SEPTA cracking down on fare evaders with a new, a tall kind of gate that you can't hop. So I guess gate hopping is literal. People are actually literally hopping gates to evade fares, and now they've installed tall fencing kind of things that I've seen regularly in New York subways. Can't believe it's taken us this long to kind of get more protective gates. But good on them. I mean, at least I think that frees up a little bit of the police force, which they need, except the police is drastically low. So maybe they could be doing something else besides catching fair evaders and maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I see that happen enough and it pisses me off because I'm sitting there paying, like, it's annoying. It's annoying that you can just, you know, these kids just think they could do whatever they want, which is to a point SEPTA's fault. So let's hope they actually start doing something. But like you just said, they don't have enough people there. Hopefully this system could actually help evade it. But I'm just skeptical on how quickly this could get installed. Because it's a big process.
It's true. And it's kind of needs to be. Like so Philadelphia talking still about that Sixer Stadium downtown, and we often say SEPTA needs to fix their crap before we even talk about that. Their first move, I guess we'll see how serious they are to actually get things moving and make their thing their you know, line safer. And
yeah. I disagree. I just think this would be good for the city as a whole, because anyone that is in the city enough, you know that it's just a mess down there for no reason. Like Old City, that part, especially near, you know, the mall specifically, like it's always weird. It's the only time people are down there is for the convention center. Like other than that, it's just weird. It's like they need to do something to bring people there, and it will help Chinatown. If they do this the right way, it'll help Chinatown. They don't have to pin Chinatown against the black communities and try to get the Sixers on, you know, the black community side. Like it doesn't need to be this whole giant fight, but it's going to be.
Here's some fair evading going on in the background, yep. Our listeners don't know this, but me and you are actually friends behind the scenes. And we went after Phillies this past opening day for a couple of drinks at one of our favorite establishments. And the bartender, Steve, is against the stadium down, you know, in the city. I go, why? Because he lives right nearby. He says, because it's great that my little daughter can, you know, run around in the gallery with absolutely nobody around her because it's just so desolate. I'm like, well, that's not really a good reason to be against bringing more people into the city. So
yeah.
You can have the entire mall to yourself.
That's the same mall that they made a curfew last year. And the curfew was because groups of like 10 to 20 to 30 kids at a time would go in there and they'd start causing a scene and having fights. And now
are you still seeing that?
Yeah, I do see that. Yeah.
Yeah. The big groups of teens. Are you still seeing like ATVs and dirt bikes riding around? So it's just for some context, you live, where do you live? And I mean, you're kind of right in the center of.
Yeah. Right, I'm not Garden, too far Spring Garden, from like, yeah, Spring Garden, Logan Square area. And yeah, I mean, I'll say at least they have cracked down that mall. Like they don't let big groups in as much, but there are groups of kids like at Temple pretty consistently. You know, they're working on that. It seems like there's less dirt bikes and ATVs, but it isn't fully spring yet. So maybe I'm just getting ahead of myself, but it seems like they're addressing the problem more than they have in the past. You know, I can't really hate on Sherelle because it seems like she's doing more than what Kenny ever did. So I'm going to continue to be semi-optimistic, but we need to hold them accountable. That's why I'm all for that stadium. They need to figure out how to revitalize that part of the city. It's where the Liberty Bell is. It's where the Constitution Center is. Like, it's an important part of our country. We can't just let it go down the drain. So
my question, I guess, becomes, do you think it's actually, like, if we're going by news reporting, it seems, I mean, besides what's going on in SEPTA, it seems the city has made some kind of move to become safer under Sherelle Parker. And I wonder, is that because news media, everyone was so damn frustrated with Kenny that they were hypercritical of him and they're kind of giving Sherelle more of a leash and it's actually not that much safer out there? Or is there a notable improvement with the new mayor and the new leadership in the city?
I mean, it seems like Sherelle's at least willing to override Krasner without making it a giant fight. Like, it seems like she's doubling and tripling down on law and order when he doesn't necessarily want to. I mean, one of the stories I put in our rundown today is, a carjacker who's facing life in prison after a deadly carjacking. And like, that's something I feel like when we were still dealing with COVID, I feel like we wouldn't have heard life, you know, life sentence potential. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, that gives me some hope. Maybe the cops finally feel more vindicated. Maybe that's what Bethel and Sherelle are leading to. And the DA kind of has to bite his tongue because things are at kind of a crossroads. Like, is this, I don't know. I'm not trying to say everything's better and it's all, you know, daisies and roses now, but
But you would consider, now that you're in a serious relationship, would you consider putting down roots in Philadelphia? You're renting right now. Would you, with the improvements that you've seen with Sherelle, think about buying a place here in Philly? Or is this?
I would love to. It scares me a little bit with the squatting stuff going on. But I mean, I'd love to. I just think it's kind of unrealistic because for the price and the square footage, like, you just get more for your money outside of the city. So I don't know. In that sense, it makes me want to not stay long term. But I love, you know, I want to stay here for the, you know, my extended future for now. So yeah, Sid, I grew up in Bucks County. I wanted a break. All right,
go back to the basement, Anthony. Attic, no. Anthony was out there.
No. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not going back yet.
Hope is for poor people, except for you know, the one that actually wins the lottery when this Powerball finally hits. You know, they're definitely hoping to win, and then they're going to be very rich. So I think you're a little bit wrong there, Sid. Sid's in Warrington. Okay, and good to know, Sid. Also, the picture of Greg, is that altered or is that actually like?
Yeah, he altered that.
I was going to say, there's no way that's the screen cap of Greg there. Finally, he also wants to do us a debate on new era caps. I love the 920 and the 940, but not a fan of the 950. You have any idea what he's talking about?
Yeah, he's talking about the fitteds, like the official that they wear, like at the fit. Like, this one's actually 47. This isn't new era, but the 920 and the 940, the 950. I think the 920 is the, like, the standard baseball with the hard front and the button at the top and fitted on the back with the MLB logo, typically. But the other ones, I forget which one's the dad hat. I think that might be the 940.
No, so I'm looking, the 920 is the dad hat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I do like I like the dad hat. Yeah.
Do you like the dad hat?
I kind of switch it up, depending on my hair. This one's like a little bit of a hybrid of dad hat and not.
Okay. Yeah, because I just wear the hats. I buy whatever looks cool to me.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever makes
you. What do you think of the new changes, though, to all the Fanatics and Nike uniforms and white yellow uniforms?
They're not great. They're very thin. It seems like the quality's down so much to an extent that it seems like the minor league jerseys are nicer. Like, I was looking at some of the Reading and Iron Pigs gear that they have this year. That's special for them. It looks outstanding. It looks like the old Majestic stuff. See, Magomush is saying, what's a dad hat? I need to find an example.
What's a dad hat, they're asking?
Yeah, it's like the hat that has like no structure at all. It's like
the dad hat. I think the best example of a dad hat is not one that's fitted. It's not a snapback, because snapbacks are back in style, but they're the ones with the what's the back look like? Is it a cloth with a clamp? Yeah, that's the dad hat. That's definitely the dad hat. I was just explaining what I thought the dad hat was, and you pull it out. Yeah, it's the clamp. It's not the snapback. It's not the fitted. It's like, yeah. So, Sid, are you wearing those? Do you also have a pair of white New Balances that you wear with tall white socks?
I like New Balances, too. See, we're getting old. I have the dad hats. I'm wearing New Balances.
Sid actually wears a pretty... I think Sid's the one with the Zioli Army Vans.
yes. I did want to bring up sports-wise, though. First of all, my bracket went downhill. I was in the top 100K of brackets, and now I'm like 1.7.
You're like a 98% hit percentage there for a while.
Well, Purdue winning kind of screwed me a little bit. I thought Tennessee would at least maybe advance, or if Duke won even, that would have helped me, but didn't help me. But I still have a chance at winning a couple of them, so there's a shot. I'm not perfect, but go UConn.
Did you have in your final? It was UConn versus Tennessee?
UConn versus Kentucky, so that screwed me a little bit. Yeah. That screwed me a little. But at the same time, everyone...
Why would you put Kentucky? Kentucky sucks. They're just as bad as Purdue.
I just thought Kentucky was better than Purdue, but I was very wrong on that. Either way, I do love the throwback. It does look like it's from the 80s, but no,
Bill, hey, look, it's Bill. Hi, Bill.
Oh, my God.
Producer. Trained both of us.
But other than March Madness, and I do think UConn's a lock here, I think they'll even cover 11 on Bama. Shout out to Nick Cale, who doesn't agree with me, but
is that some bias? Because if people aren't aware, you spent some time doing radio in Hartford. You're dating a UConn grad. Is there some bias at play here?
There's a little bias.
Monumentally good.
They're so much better than they were last year, and they won it all last year. And I just think they haven't even had they had a close half that last game they were in, but they still won by over like 25, I think, when it was all said and done. So
dominant.
They're so good. I just think there's no way. Maybe covering 11, maybe I'm being too cocky, but I think UConn is that good. But basketball in Philadelphia, regardless, Embiid's back. He looks
nice. 20 points down, or 20 pounds down.
Yeah.
Haircut.
Yeah. I'm going to get excited again. This is the problem.
That's what I was gonna ask. I'm going to ask what I asked Dom today with Embiid back now and a pretty crappy run there. I mean, Maxey was supposed to star and Tobias didn't really step up. But now you have Embiid back, and it's probably going to be the first time in the guy's career that he's going into the playoffs healthy. Does that hype you up? Are you expecting a lot, or are you just expecting a quick out?
Been saying that I'm not excited because it's going to take him time to come back, but now he looks like he's just ready. Like, he looks, you know, I'm not saying he's unstoppable yet, but I think this is probably a better position to be in than last year, where it almost seemed like he was gassed after winning the MVP. So, you know, having a healthy Embiid, a rested Embiid, same with even Maxey. Maxey has been in and out of the lineup. Having both of them get some time, now that I could settle in, I'm a little worried about them fitting in with this bench, but, you know, the bench is going to fit in around them. I think Buddy Hield's going to be huge for them. That could be a big game changer for Embiid and Maxey. But again, it's the Sixers. But also, I keep trying to remind NBA fans this. The NBA, like, it's not what it was when we were watching Warriors, Cavs. Like, it's not, or Miami Heat, Maverick. Like, it's not, there aren't these super teams anymore. And it kind of is the league of, you know, I mean, these young kids are developing at a rapid rate. And anyone.
Like Batman and Robin league now. There's like the one and twos. It's not a three man, you know, more than half the starting lineup are superstars.
Well, are the Celtics unstoppable? No.
Like, I'm thinking Luka and Kyrie are looking fantastic.
Yeah.
They're probably the closest. And I guess the Celtics, even though they're homegrown, are probably the closest thing you got to a super team now, right?
And yeah, is Jaylen Brown on a super team? Like, that's, I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, I do think, I'm not saying he's bad, but like the NBA now, if you get on a run here, it'll be different. So,
looking for that clip. Did you see the Doncic buzzer beater the other night where he,
the hook when he had a little hook at the end? Yeah.
Oh, that was sick.
Luka is a special player. Absolutely.
What do you think of the kid down in Oklahoma City? Jacking up threes, skinny as hell. Why can't I think of his name? You know him.
Was that Giddy? Josh?
No, Giddy? No. The big white kid. What the hell's his name? Why can't I think of it? Somebody help me. Fill me in the chat. Wait, didn't he go to Gonzaga?
Oh my gosh. Who the hell is?
Whatever. Anyway, I bring him up because I'm
Is that Chet? Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, Chet Holmgren. That's who it is. I don't know. I hardly ever watch Oklahoma City games, but I'm very fascinated with NBA 2K, and he's on my drafted fantasy team. Which brings me to video games, because apparently if you were to change the name of a player in NHL to Trump, you get a notification that you're not allowed to, but Biden is A-OK. Trump's offensive. Is that what's happening?
I actually was playing NHL with my brother a little earlier. This game, it didn't let me put Dennis Reynolds. It didn't let me, like, the name of one of the characters from Always Sunny. Doesn't let me do that, but then there are kids that have, like, such sexual innuendo names. Like, insane shit.
Do you have any examples of them?
Like, there's one, like, Twist Me Tip. Like, he's allowed to have that, but I'm not allowed to, like, there's some guy with, like, you know, balls four times in his name, but I'm not allowed to, like, it's crazy. And, you know, I know the clip that went viral, I think lives a TikTok post, that there's just a clip of someone trying to put Trump and then they're allowed to put Biden. But I think the problem is, well, and even playing that game, there's been so many team names after like Zinn and Trump that I feel like they specifically try to filter that
Zinn
out.
Like the new cool way to dip, essentially. Yeah, it's, why is that so damn popular? Like, Copenhagen long cut was what I was doing in college. What the hell is Zinn crap?
No, people are obsessed with Zinn, and we could get to that right after this. But yeah, people, I think it's just because nobody wants to name their team Team Biden, so that's probably the main thing there. Yeah. But their content moderation makes absolutely no sense, and I've been playing.
I haven't played NHL in such a long time, but is it still like EA games really scared me away? All I was doing was playing sports games for a while, and then I'd look forward to Madden every year and just completely underwhelm me. And now you got the new NCAA coming out, and I play NCAA 14 to this day, like, religiously. And I'm kind of annoyed because I don't want to get my hype. I would love to get my hopes up, but I can't because it's EA.
I'm excited, but when you said that, I'm kind of like, damn, he's partially right. Like, I can't even play franchise mode with my brother on NHL because it's that annoying. Like, they make you play the EA Sports League and build a team, which is like fun to a certain extent, but like, come on. Like, why? Ugh, it's just so annoying, dude. Everything. I hate sounding like we're getting old, but like, seriously, like, video games used to be so much better than they are today. And
dude, it's sad that we are getting to the curmudgeonly point, but like, where are the days of having your friends over to play NFL Blitz in, you know, tournament, going back and forth head to head? Local play is not what it used to be. And then it feels like every time I want to play with my nephew, we want to do some kind of, you know, franchise together, and we spend 20, 25 minutes trying to find anything that would work together, and then we just settle on Fortnite. And I hate that.
No, I get it. But you being a wrestling fan, are you excited for WWE?
Oh, I cannot wait. I got my nephews coming up from Virginia. They're driving up. They were down in Hilton Head Island. They're on spring break right now. They're driving up to Virginia right now. And then Friday, they'll be coming up. And Friday night. So WrestleMania festivities, I mean, they start tomorrow. Maybe even tonight. But WrestleCon's launching with an event tomorrow with some great wrestlers. And then GCW has a series of events that kick off Friday into Saturday. GCW being essentially the, I guess, the sequel to a degree of ECW that I'm sure you're familiar with. You know, the hardcore kind of style of wrestling. South Street on Saturday. Honestly, if there's one thing I suggest you go to, there's going to be a block party on Saturday from 11 to, I think, 7 p.m. And they're actually going to have a wrestling ring set up there outside at the block party with bar, drinks, all that, and wrestling matches going on live on South Street. So that's Saturday. And then Saturday night, you got WrestleMania over at Link. Sunday night, you got WrestleMania over at Lincoln. I mean, the amount of people that this is going to bring into the city is fascinating. And I don't think people, including yourself, realize the impact and the draw that this kind of thing has. Like one more thing, a great example of this is you watch this weekend over at Sheridan Convention Center, you got WrestleCon, which is every year, it's kind of known as the Smarks, you know, paradise. It feels like every single wrestler through history is out there signing autographs and all. That's happened at the Sheridan Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Meanwhile, Saturday and Sunday, and I think Friday as well, is WWE World, which is the Fanatics and WWE's actual official thing happening over at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. So you have two dueling conventions going on in Chinatown. And I think I want people to recognize the economic impact when you have this kind of draw to that area of the city, what it does in livening the city and creating an awesome environment. And I think it's a perfect example as to what we would see with that 76ers stadium and the amount of people that it would draw in. It's very real that there are times that part of the city is indeed packed with that amount of people that they would expect for the games, and somehow they're able to make it through. I don't know, man. But again, WrestleMania, I've been looking forward to this, and I got my nephews coming up. I'm not going to any of the actual WrestleManias. It sucks. Tickets were so damn expensive.
Yeah.
Obstructive views were like $200.
I would act like that's the most normal thing. Like, oh yeah, you're going because anyone could go. But you're right. It is. It's such a, I didn't realize it was since 1999 the last time it came to Philly. So it's all, and I, like you just said, it's a perfect example of, to bring it full circle, why the city needs the stadium. And it would help everyone. If you're a Philadelphian, it would help you. Stop saying, oh, but this community of Philadelphians, it would help every Philadelphian make more money as long as they do it the right way and zone the right way. And
hey, yeah, no, sorry, don't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
I'm excited that Ben Nolan, Swagger Diaper Middle School student, has checked in saying, hi, this is different. That's where is Rich Zioli today with IE.
He's still on. He's on the Odyssey.
No, Opelka's in.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Where is Zioli today? I have no idea where the hell Zioli is.
You know, he's part-time host now.
All right. I don't think this is true, but Rita, I'm not even going to put it out there. I want the podcast feed, but what the hell?
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's a tailgating at WrestleMania. Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, you have
I'm sure there's crossover people as, all over.
Yeah, like, you don't think people want to get drunk for their 8 hours they're going to spend watching wrestling that evening? The thing is, though, look at the times the doors open, and again, a lot of these wrestling fans, instead of tailgating, they're going to be all around the city doing events. I mean, one more place I want to give a plug to is 2300 Arena, who's doing some great events, which is a former ECW arena. But they're going to have people like Tajiri from when we were growing up, and Rhino, and some of the other, you know, late 90s, early 2000s greats from WWF appearing in kind of hardcore style matches over at the ECW arena. So legitimately, the entire city is going to be taken over by wrestling fans, and I can't freaking wait.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a tilt this weekend. I could check in with you guys live. But I wanted to mention Bill's point about sports games and how they ruin sports for him. Yeah, I kind of feel that. Everyone thinks they're Howie Roseman now. Like, every single move, it's just extreme, ridiculous reaction, knee-jerk reaction, like, to the smallest things. And yeah, you think you have it figured out when we don't all have it figured out. So,
but I feel like, I don't know, there's been a lot of pushback against WIP for creating narratives and such. And like, AJ Brown came on and was like biting back because everyone's complaining about everything and saying, you know, creating division through angles. And I hate to say it, though, that's kind of the entire point of sports entertainment and sports media, is to discuss and analyze topics and offer, you know, angles that are not being talked about elsewhere to keep things interesting. And
well, and that's why the whole Caitlin Clark thing keeps coming up, because people are like, oh, do they only talk about her because she's white? Like, no, watch her play. She's amazing. I'm not saying LSU's
who's
bad.
Who's more dominant? Who's more dominant, Caitlin Clark or UConn?
Oh, that's a good question. UConn women, they're in the
final. I was talking to UConn men versus.
No, I know what you mean.
Not in a matchup. I'm just saying, like, versus their own competition.
Caitlin might be more dominant, and that's scary because, like, UConn is that good this year. Like, but Caitlin's just so good. She's unstoppable. And I'm sick of the slander of people on the air saying, like, oh, she's not that good. She wouldn't be Pistol Pete. She would destroy Pistol Pete. She would compete in today's.
That seems like a shot at Dom Giordano you're making.
It is. It is a shot at Dom.
Now, Dom noted that he thinks he can take her one-on-one.
Oh, my God. He's ridiculously out of his mind. I mean, we could argue back and forth about if she could play in the NBA, at least be a bench player. She could destroy Dom.
You nor I have ever seen Dom play, but we've heard, you know, a lot of hype from the.
He hasn't played in a while.
Oh, I think he has. I think he goes out like every other weekend, plays with DJ and Luke.
We have to hear from DJ. They need to call us and let us know. This is, you know,
I want Bill's reaction to find out that Dom thinks he could beat Caitlin. Because when Bill was producer, there was a claim that got a lot of steam, and that was Dom suggesting that he could beat a bear in a foot race. like a wild bear. And then he had the 40 yards. But the guy does live up to the hype, like, with free throw shots. He does apparently have a really good free throw shot.
He's the shot doctor.
And Nick Cale says the guy is a good golfer.
And We have heard that.
Bill says people tailgate the Little League World Series. Of course, they'll tailgate WrestleMania. Is that wrong, tailgating Little League World Series? I'd probably be out there.
It's America. That sounds American. Just straight up Central PA. What else are you going to do? Eat a hot dog, crack a beer, sit on the field there, watch the kids play. I mean, come on. Even at your local town's game, there's probably parents. Their coffee cups got some liquor in it. So what are we doing here?
Why do you think Stanley mugs are so popular?
It's true. Oh, my God, it's true. Yeah. Now we're going to get checked tomorrow at work if you bring your water bottle.
Well, I don't have a Stanley mug. Just don't check me. One more thing. What do I want to get to? I forget what it was now. I'll bring this kind of, I just saw this and I'm like, what the hell, man? Who is this guy?
I don't know. Ben, chill out, dude.
Yeah, what's going on here, dude? Youngling, all right, going through the things. Diddy, what the hell's going on with Diddy, man? Is he on the run? Is he a trafficker?
Man on the run. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's been arrested. I think that's continually, this is an ongoing thing. Nobody really knows if he was or not. They seized his jet, I think, and obviously searched his properties.
His mom wasn't happy about the way that they searched his property. Spoke to the media.
I mean, one of them was taken out with their, like, hands behind their head, like, very aggressively, one of the kids. So I don't know.
Are they involved?
I think allegedly. I don't know.
Right, so I feel like I got to clarify what we're talking about, a little backstory here. So over time, Anthony and I have been discussing the unfolding allegations against P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Puffy Combs. Don't even know what to call the guy anymore. Diddy.
The Diddler.
That's way too, it's actually way too perfect. Who from Cassie, a long term, I guess, girlfriend or cohort in the music industry. She filed a civil case that made some allegations that he sexually trafficked her, abused her, raped her, some horrible, horrible crap. And Cassie wasn't the only one. She was probably the biggest name, but there's been multiple allegations now that Diddy has been doing some, you know, funky stuff. And I think they're all civil cases. I don't know if there's any criminal cases yet, but this FBI search and all seems directly in response to the allegations that he has been involved in some kind of trafficking, human trafficking in one degree or another. You know, past assistants have come out and said that they were used as drug mules and such. So now Diddy has his house raided by the FBI, last seen in the Miami airport near his airplane, I think, and then it's completely disappeared off the map, and seems like we got a rapper on the run.
Yeah, and I think people are going to keep asking questions, but I don't know how much we're going to figure out, because it really is. This is the type of thing where we deal with consistently on the power structure, people who push back and find a way to hide things. And it's like similar to what we've talked about with Epstein or other people in power who just get away with things over and over and over again. So, you know, I guess
this is... Diddy was involved directly with Epstein, or is this a separate ring happening here?
I mean, people mentioned Prince Andrew, which he was also mentioned with Epstein. There's a lot of people that are mentioned around both at times. Were they in similar circles? Definitely. Are they the same? I wouldn't say they're the same, but they were definitely working around similar people at times. So.
And does Kate Middleton know the truth?
Hmm. Oh, my God, Kate Middleton.
No, I'm not going down at that. I'm kidding, 100%. All right, so a couple more things. I just saw my list. I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, Jeremy Allen White, like the favorite actor of me and you because of The Bear. I mean, Shameless, he was great in too, but he's been awesome. Looks like Gene Wilder always said he should play Gene Wilder in a biopic. It turns out he's going to be putting his apron aside to play Bruce Springsteen in a very disappointing move. One of my favorite actors is going to play one of my least favorite musicians.
Ironically, the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm has Bruce in it, and it's actually pretty funny. So if you have the time, check that out. This season's been great in general. So if you haven't checked that out, but
he's been very vocal against Trump, though, hasn't he, Larry David?
Yeah, there's a clip going around of him pretty much saying how dangerous he is, which doesn't really surprise me, but it's just unfortunate that no one says, you know, they're all dangerous, and why can't we talk like this about everyone? But I guess we can't live in that reality.
So it's the bipartisan world. It's either one team or the other, right?
Yep.
How much has the whole 2020 election and everything that has flowed from it pissed you off?
Oh, I mean, you can't go a day without thinking about what he's done to this country, because he's such a little baby that he's thrown 250 years of democracy out the window by not accepting the results of an election. I mean, it's so crazy. He's such a sociopath. He's so insane. He just couldn't admit to losing. And we know he lost. He knows he lost. And look how he's fooled everybody. He's convinced all these people that he didn't lose. He's such a sick man. He's so sick. Anyway, no, it hasn't impacted me at all.
I don't know. It almost seems like a bit, though. Yeah, it does, because it's like that's what CNN wants.
Like the MAGA hat scene when he puts on the hat to get out.
Yeah.
Get out of awkward situations. Doesn't want to have a conversation with anybody.
I mean, I agree with him to a point. Like, you know, Trump said he didn't win. I think Biden technically won. I know, I'm sure they cheated a little bit, but Trump was not popular at that moment. I think for the most part that is accurate. And in 2016, you know, they never wanted him winning. You think they would have let him win, like if he didn't really win in 2016. So I just hate, like, we could say this about elections forever. We need to make them more secure in general. And, you know, there's going to be people cheating everywhere until they get caught. So
I just don't like the, there's not enough, but you're right, there's not enough people saying both sides. And I don't understand why there's a fear to say, you know, but also Biden hasn't been very kind to democracy either.
They all cheat. That's it. Yeah. Then we sit here and yell at each other.
I think it's a strategy, though, to try to, you know, underlyingly get people to vote for the opposition candidate.
Like,
it's not as bad, but yeah. Back to wrestling real quick. Just going through our list of topics that we have here. Jason Kelce might be signing on for WrestleMania. I forgot to mention that. Be a perfect person for that, I think. Billie Eilish, Nicki Minaj, Stevie Wonder have all demanded protection against artificial intelligence music. I'm completely with them there. Do you think it's necessary, though? Is there that much of a spread of AI into the world of music? I don't think human creativity can ever be replaced by a robot.
I don't know. There's some AI songs that are pretty good, of like people being fake Drake or fake Weeknd, like these pop songs that get popular. Some of the AI versions are like insanely good, but you're right. I obviously, a human makes it and they edit it and they do more to it, even if it is partially AI. So I don't think you're gonna, yeah, this is, that's it.
At first it's quite convincing. Creator Ghostwriter 977 claims the song is AI generated. Artificial or not, it quickly generated real numbers, over 600,000 streams on Spotify before Drake's label had it pulled.
There was just something about it.
But it was good enough to fool this music journalist.
Give me your thoughts when you first heard this show.
I think this was one of the first times where I truly felt that I was losing my grasp on reality, because it really sounds very legit. We are vastly approaching to this uncanny valley where we're not going to be able to know what's a deep fake and what's real.
This isn't the first time it's happened to Drake. Recently, an AI cover of the song Munch prompted Drake to say on Instagram, "This is the final straw, AI."
Oh, he's thinking of a full war with AI coming from Drake.
Well, and Kendrick just dissed him too. So, like, Drake's getting it from AI. He's getting it from all sides. But let me put up that Magalmush comment really quick. Put it up, the last one.
This one?
Yeah, Magalmush, dude, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm not saying there isn't cheating. I definitely think our elections aren't fair. The fact that they counted ballots without a signature, without a date, like things like, I don't agree with that. And I definitely think there was some sort of cheating in this last election. But my point is, there's cheating in probably every freaking election. And we need to hold these leaders accountable and look to build a better system in the long term. And that is my entire point. I'm not angry that you support Trump. People can support whoever they want to support. But we need to fight for the system to be better, no matter what you freaking believe in as an American. And that's all I'm trying to say. You could you think that there are 207,000 more votes. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but I just think in general, our system is flawed and we need.
Well, yeah, with mail-in ballots.
I don't like them. I don't like how lenient they are with them.
Yeah.
And to John's point, why are Dems against voter ID? I think that's an issue too. I very much think that's an issue. And thank you. Thank you, Magalmush. That's all.
I really like this Magalmush guy. He's a very
nice, I do too.
Nice supporter of us. Mangle, thanks for always being around, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for always being around. Couple more things I want your thoughts on, and then I got to get the hell out of here. I got some contractors coming in to check out a leak on my side.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, look at this. Homeowning millennial. Look at that. Rare. Very rare.
It is. It's becoming way too rare. It's sad. Thanks, I wish. Doc. Dune 2. You said it lives up to the hype?
I was just wondering if you saw it yet, because I'm about to go to
I haven't watched it. They're in a ton of shiznit recently. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think if you have the time before it's out of theaters, you should, because in the theater it's just that kind of movie. It's so awesome there.
Do you have to see it in IMAX?
I did. I saw it in IMAX, but I'm a little bit of a nerd with that. I think your theater experience, either way with it, it'll be pretty awesome.
I hate the movie theater, man. I'm too tall for it. I can't fit the seats. There's always someone talking that I have to like be annoyed at.
That does happen at times.
People checking their phones middle of the movie, and their brightness is like on 5,000, like a eye-burning degree that you can't even access on a normal day unless you're sitting inside a movie theater, it seems like.
That is the most annoying thing, when someone's like just screaming or on the phone in the movie theater 24/7. It's the worst thing. But I don't know. I like going. I think it's just nostalgia.
Where do you go to the movies? At the gallery?
I go on. I mean, we go.
Fashion District?
When I go to the city, I've gone in like Cinemax over in U City. Yeah, and there's like Philly Film Society in Center City that I've been to. Okay. I've been to the one in the mall there too, but that one is just kind of like out of the way, so I haven't been there much. But I go to KOP sometimes too, just because if I have to run errands out there, and I'll just go to the movies at the end of the day.
Why, you know? Out of anywhere to go to run errands if you live in the city, why the hell do you go out to KOP?
Well, that's...
You're like voluntarily taking the Subway Expressway?
That's me being nice, saying when Mary wants me to go to the mall, you know. But
why KOP? There's some great malls over in Jersey you should check out, and they're like 45 minutes closer.
I go to Cherry Hill sometime, which is definitely closer.
I'm in the Deptford Mall. We got a nice mall across the street.
Yeah, I should. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's got like an old school feel to it. Like there's still stores in it, which you don't see in malls anymore. Very
it's
often.
True. It's true.
I think that's all we got, and I think we really. Well, there's one more thing. I don't really care to mention it too much, but Happy Gilmore 2 has been talked about with Adam Sandler, and he told Dan Patrick that there are some updates on it, and ball's moving. So,
streaming's getting all that stuff to actually happen. It's just the things that actually do it right are great, and the things that do it wrong are missing all the marks. So let's hope if they're going to do it, they better do it right. I doubt it a little bit.
I just feel like these sequels are going to be the equivalent of like the Walmart discount bin sequels of yesteryear.
Yep.
Like ones that everyone wants to forget about, and that were just made for money making sake. Like what was it? Come to America 2 or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
Like it had a week of hype, but now I think in the annals of history, it's not going to be remembered in the same way as the original.
I mean, I'll say Borat 2, as much as that was a little bit in that category, I think that lived up to like the hype of Borat. I mean, they did some pretty crazy stuff and exposed Giuliani a little bit. So that was, I think that was definitely a hot, but you're right. I hope it better not be like that with Coming to America, because that's just, it would be disappointing.
All right, I got to get out of here. Let's get this house fixed and maybe the water will stop coming. So I have a weird situation with my blinds where my blinds are leaking, not my window. And what happens is, I guess, you know, the siding of your house can let water in. That's only accessed when you drill, you know, blinds in there, and then it comes out through the hole. So there might be some water between my siding and my wall. And I don't know. It's a bunch of crap that I don't want to have to worry about.
Good luck.
Thank you. And then I get to worry about it and have fun with WrestleMania. So hopefully there's not much of a bill here and there's an easy fix and it's just some sheathing or something that needs to be put up there. But Anthony, any big plans for you this weekend? Are you going to any wrestling events? Because it's all wrestling all the time.
No, maybe I'll go try to tailgate with all the wrestling fans and go to one of the conferences. But other than that, I'll just probably be hanging out, trying to get caught up on some stuff, get some freaking sleep. Been on go ever since Radiothon with opening day and everything. So
you haven't taken a breath at all.
Yeah, it's been a race. But here we are, 2024, baby. This is what it's all about.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Solid, great. Love it. It's fantastic. I want to go back to the days of drinking, smoking, playing video games in a dark room and nothing to care about besides the next final. But we're far away from those times now with bills and all this crap and homeowning. All right, I'm going to stop ranting. I'm out of here. My name is Dan Borowski, producer of the Dom Giordano program. It's turned into some kind of psychological session. I feel like I'm sitting on a couch here. Yeah. So I apologize. Well,
that's Dan's therapy for the day, guys.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Mangelmush. Appreciate you being there. And John suggests I use caulk. Well, thank you. Thanks for your
advice.
Quality input there, John. I appreciate that. All right, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the Dom Giordano program. Anthony, you'll see him when? Kale and Company and Dawn, right?
Oh, yeah. Kale and Company and Dawn show will be here until Friday, so tune in.
Awesome. Talk to you then.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.